from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
You look at the all-around game from Durant, big hit, 30th steal, and then the robbery. Like, is that kind of microcosm of the year?
Yeah, I mean, two tough days, right? And you know, the support system is the support system. And I want to separate every, you know, like, I don't want people to take it the wrong way, right? Like, there's work that we have to do on the personal side, but the baseball side of it, you know, the support system is there, and we're gonna help him. We're gonna help him, and he's one of the most dynamic players in the big leagues, you know. And base hit up the middle, the stolen base, the robbery, you know, it was fun to watch. You know, it's good to see the kid smile. You know, it's been a tough week, and you know, we're not gonna hide from that. You know, we gotta work, but you know, it was good for him tonight.
Final 30 minutes of the KJ and Lyons show on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. That's Alex Cora on Jarren Duran and the week that was, and I really have to take my hats off to the Red Sox in this current social environment that we're in. They handled the issue right away. They did not touch it while it was going on, while he was suspended, and Jarren Duran's play has continued to excel as he's come back and just been phenomenal in this series against Baltimore, where the Red Sox have the ability to win this series and really try and make that run for that final wild card spot.
Yeah, and as we talked about earlier, this is probably the most pivotal 3 weeks for the Red Sox all year. You start out with those three games against Kansas City. You take two out of three, but then you're swept by Houston. You're kind of outclassed by Houston in that three-game sweep. Then you bounce back. You win two against Texas, both games with Duran out. Then you lose that really frustrating Wednesday night game against Texas, lose the first one to Baltimore. You bounce back with two more wins. If you can stack another win today before you go to Houston and then before you play Arizona, it's key, because you want to finish this stretch, which ends with Arizona next weekend, within a couple games of that wild card spot. Because after that, you have a couple weeks where your schedule gets a little bit softer. And the end of September, your schedule is a little bit softer after it gets a little harder in the middle of the month. So, like, if you can get to the end of this stretch against, you know, that ends with Arizona, just within a couple games, I think you're in really good shape to make the playoffs. But again, this next week is going to be a pivotal part of that.
I have to take my hat off to Craig Breslow. I don't have multiple hats on.
You're taking your hat off to him? Look at their rotation.
Well, but here's the thing. Look at where think about how you felt about this team last year at this time. Around last year at this time, Mookie Betts had just left here using an aluminum bat, and there was tons of Dodgers fans in the stands. You started to see some of that trickle in. You remember earlier in the season, and Alex Cora said, hey, I'd like to get to a point where we're seeing more of our fans.
Wasn't
there.
Wasn't it the Mets series earlier in the year last year? It was like more Mets fans than Sox or something like that. Yeah.
We even joked here when it was game four of the NBA Finals where you had the Yankees in town for the opener, and then you also had the Celtics NBA Finals game being shown at the arena for, I think it was either game, it was game four.
Yeah, game four was the Friday night game.
It was that Friday night game, and the Yankees were here, and I joked, were there going to be more people in TD Garden watching a game with no players in there, or would there be more Yankee fans in Fenway, about 19,000, there? And it was a pretty close push. We're very far away from that point now. I think the situation with Tristan Cassis hasn't gotten ugly because remember it's like, okay, hasn't signed his extension yet. Then he gets hurt. You almost feel like, okay, because they didn't make a move during the go get that first baseman that some people were screaming about, you're like, okay, they believe in Tristan Cassis. They have re-signed Alex Cora. He's going to be here for the foreseeable future. Rafael Devers has still maintained an all-star season. And while losing Trevor Story, you would say, hey, this team is kind of doing much better than you expected considering all the disastrous pieces that were following from last year into this year, especially with the Story injury. You're like, hey, this is a high-priced guy. You had Yoshida struggling. That's turned around. So things have turned around for at least the foreseeable end of the season that the Red Sox will be playing interesting baseball.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, Rob Bradford on the Baseballs and Boring show, they had Nat Gordon, and I think Sammy James was the other one on there, correct me if I'm wrong, but they had an interesting discussion about the Red Sox right now are in virtually the same place as last year, record-wise, playoff standing-wise, all that, but you do feel a little bit better about where they're at compared to last year because you see some of these young guys coming up and playing well, so you do feel better where they're at. However, we are talking about a team that finished last place 2 years in a row and now may miss the playoffs again. So you might feel better, but you still aren't at a point where you feel great about them, or you even feel that maybe you feel good about them, at least especially the way they played this weekend, but they still have a lot to prove, and there's still a lot of serious concerns in that rotation. Bayo was fantastic last night, but he's had a really inconsistent year. Is this the springboard for him to be good, or just one of those handful of good games he's going to have, right? So I think it's just a really interesting discussion because I don't know about you, KJ, but I do feel better right now than I did at this time last year. However, I'm still not in love with where they're at overall. I still think there's pieces missing in the rotation. I think there's still some progress that needs to be made. But I do, you know, in fairness, feel better than I did a year ago.
Well, you know what I really love is the bold move that happened earlier in the week where Mayer, Teal, and Anthony all got pushed to Worcester. And this is what I've been saying. Remember I joked on the air when we were talking about like what pieces would the Red Sox move around the trade deadline? And I was saying, look, their most valuable pieces are at Portland, and these guys at AAA seem to still be figuring it out. It's like, gosh, Bobby Dalbec is probably, you know, he's been in the league. I mean, he seems like he's probably been in the minor leagues 10 years. It feels that way. But I was saying that, hey, these AAA guys, they're probably like, which ones are the ones you're going to peel off? And by bringing Mayer, Teal, and Anthony to AAA, this gives you a chance to see what these guys can do there towards the end of the season. I don't think any of them get called. Maybe Anthony gets called up a little bit in September, but it depends on where the race is, right? So I don't know if any of those guys are going to be September call-ups, but them being at Worcester, it does make the statement from Craig Breslow, like, we've got to get this train moving with these prospects that we have. Whether they get kept or they're part of a big arm that you may be looking at, I think you have to put these guys at that level to at least see what you have, because you're absolutely right, John. I think there's no question at all going into next season, you have to go get an established arm almost at whatever it takes, even if it means one of these three guys has to go in the deal, because this team has just been too close a couple of times to not be able to say you don't have a good quality A1 pitcher. Yeah, when your guy goes to Texas and he's still there, Nate Eovaldi, and he's still performing well, that's you can't cry over spilled milk, but if you still have him there, I think you have a little more patience. But this was a team that needed to expedite the thoughts on some things, and I like just that bold move of bringing three guys up from AA at the same time to AAA to see what you got and what you may be able to peel off of what's existing at AAA already.
Do you think this is putting any unfair pressure on those three guys, though? Because they're already looked at as the future of the franchise, right?
Yeah.
Then you promote them all together. Some folks around the team are calling them the big three when they haven't even played in AAA yet.
Right.
I mean, that's putting a lot just to, and then there's even been some reports around the team, and I don't remember exactly who, but reports around the team that they're going to really start spending once these guys are ready to play in the majors. I mean, it's basically telegraphing, we are resting our whole organizational plan on you three, where statistically, and I'm not saying this is definitely going to happen, but statistically, one out of these three guys, maybe two, won't work out. So are you putting undue pressure and unfair pressure? Because there's already a lot of pressure, and part of that comes with playing in the major leagues and being a top prospect. But to build so much of your messaging around, hey, these are the three, they're the future, we're not trading them at all, we're promoting them together, is that putting a little bit of unfair pressure on these guys that could work to their detriment once they're in AAA?
A little bit. I think it puts more pressure on the KJ and Lyons show, who's predicting things like this.
That's true.
But, right, I think the most pressure obviously is on Marcel Mayer, because he's been the conversation over the last couple of years of kind of like, when is he going to be ready? And because you don't know what you're getting at short, you don't know what you're going to get from Trevor Story when he comes back. That might be too much to pay him as a DH, because then you have to ask about Yoshida. So I think the most pressure is on Mayer, one. Then I think Roman Anthony too, but because you ask, where in the outfield do you put him, right? Maybe you don't know what the future of Tyler O'Neill is, but you've gotten production out of him. Do you feel like you go another year going that direction? And I think Teal has the least amount of pressure, because you've got a young catcher already in Connor Wong, who's been producing and it can give you great numbers and has speed. So you're like, okay, Teal is the one that would have the least amount of pressure. And keep in mind, he was the one coming from the lowest grade ball through. He's sped up the quickest out of everybody. I think Anthony is the one that you might say, if someone makes a really compelling offer and wants a young outfielder and it's going to get us a top line pitcher, sure. I think Mayer is definitely going to be a person that they're going to have to look at as a call up right out of spring training next year. So yes, there's pressure. Most on Mayer, least on Teal. Anthony is the one that I would say, it's like a group. It's like, who's the lead singer? I would say Mayer.
See,
like, who's the drummer? Teal. You know, Anthony is the bass player right now, a little bit, you know.
I would agree with you that Mayer has the most pressure. He was the fourth overall pick, too, and it's shortstop, right? I get it. But I actually think Teal has the second most pressure. And the reason I say that is the Red Sox have depth problems at catcher. I mean, they had to go out and get Jansen at the trade deadline. This has been an issue for them for a little while. And I think the most valuable thing you can have in the major leagues is an elite starting pitcher. But not far behind that, if you could have an elite catcher that's offensively and defensively elite.
You're thinking like Ashley Rushman, what they've done with him?
Exactly. That's the first name that comes to mind, right? Guy like him. But like, because how many teams out there truly have someone you look at and say, oh, they have an elite catcher? I mean, three or four, like Baltimore, Milwaukee, Chicago, you know, the Dodgers, like really, five teams. So if you can have that, that's a huge advantage over a lot of teams that you play against. So and the other thing about Anthony is you have Duran in the outfield, you have Abreu in the outfield, you have O'Neill, Rafaela can play in the outfield. So you have a little bit more wiggle room out there too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how it all plays out for them. And you're right. If you've got a star catcher in your ranks, they usually tend to get moved up quicker, but I think they're going to want to see, hey, okay, if Connor Wong did this season, if he does it again next season, then now you have a question of, do you already have your catcher? Because at one point you're like, is Connor Wong? Like, Connor Wong is the last part of the last remaining remnant of the Mookie Betts deal, and it seems like this is the one that seems to be showing some type of payoff for the team in a long-term play. It's KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937, still to come, keywords Kaepernick, NASA, hot wife, Kay Adams, Polo G. But now it's time for Jacob Lassner and Trending.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Lions rocking your Sunday here on WEEI. We appreciate every single one of you who've been here, whether for 15 or 16 minutes or the bulk of what's been 3 hours. We're here to 12:30 getting ready for Joe Weil. John, in about 2 minutes, we'll get into Would You Rather, More Likely To, Either Or. And we'll have to discuss this EA College Football 25 matchup that we had earlier this week, kind of like a dark match. We're going to be honest when we talk about it, too.
We can be, KJ.
Okay, we can be honest about it. 37937, Jacob, what you got on the text line?
All right, let's see what we got. We have some more responses to the rich people stuff. We've got, let's see, a super hot wife.
you might be able to prove that you're able to pull that on your own abilities. You just never know. I have a hot wife, but I'm not rich.
All right, also, we have the Red Sox... some Red Sox stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The thing that makes it better is at least they're addressing issues. Rich Hill isn't sexy, but last year they would have said it is what it is.
John.
Yeah, I'll give him that. I'm not relying on Rich Hill to give me more than one start, but I agree. I think last year they would have just said, whatever, you know, we're all done, and they kind of collapsed. At least they did something this year, yeah.
All right, one more.
All right, let's see.
There's so many.
Why not try to trade the third round pick we just got for
Matthew Judon?
Yeah, for Judon for a good left tackle. I'm just saying it's an idea. I don't know if a third round pick is really worth a good tackle, but we do need one.
I mean, it's a good pick. It's the beginning of day two, right? If there's someone who's looking for a quality receiver, maybe even something to shore up on the defensive end if they see that there's a safety out there, a cornerback, that a third-round pick addresses that. And that's what I wonder, John. I think the Judon trade, by getting a third-round pick, allows you to add some type of oomph to a trade deal to get a left tackle that you need, though I don't know who's going to give up their left tackle.
Yeah, and I think if you want a really good left tackle, it's in the offseason and it takes more than a third round pick, unfortunately. Like, you could get maybe a serviceable one for a third round pick, but they're just so valuable, you'd have to give more than that.
Should we create like a little hut and pray to it every day that Trent Williams can't come to an agreement with the 49ers and he's a holdout? Like, please, just please continue to hold out.
Or we could just make a giant voodoo doll of Trent Williams' contract and just keep putting pins in it so they can never come to an agreement.
Well, most of the time you put a pin in it, it says sign here. I think that's what they're trying to do there.
Let's do the opposite.
All right. Still to come, Kaepernick, Kay Adams, Polo G, that gets addressed. But right now it's time for... Yeah! This is like our Whole Lot of Love show ender to KJ and Lions.
Would you rather more likely to,
uh-huh,
either or I ask of you? Would you rather more likely to, either or I ask of you?
All right, three questions. Would you rather, more likely to happen, and either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All right, so first up, would you rather the Patriots got a third rounder in return for Matthew Judon earlier this week. Would you rather the Patriots draft a player with that pick or use that pick in a trade for a top player next offseason?
John, before you give your answer, can I say this shows you how in touch the fans are of this show? Literally, someone asked the question that's just being asked.
So I'd rather trade this third-round pick. I think next year's the year where you can use your first or second-round pick on a franchise-level left tackle. Maybe use that third-round pick to either bring in a serviceable tackle or a pretty good receiver or whatever else you need. I'd use that one to trade.
I think because it's so hard for a trade to happen for top offensive linemen, I think if the team is going to be around a 5-6-win team, maybe a 4- or 5-win team, I think you hold on to that third-round pick. You might be able to do something to get maybe a WR1 to package that together and something else, but you probably take a stud offensive lineman. Hopefully that's available for you in those top 10 picks next year.
All right, the Red Sox make a late wild card push or the Patriots start the season 0-4?
John.
I'd rather the Red Sox make a wild card push because it's winning.
Well, what do you think is more like? Well, I guess it's not more likely. Either the Red Sox make a wild card push or the Patriots start 0-4.
Well, they're both likely. Right. I think it's more likely the Red Sox make that wild card push. They're already within two games, so they're already in it.
I think this story that's developing with Drake May, I don't know if the Patriots start 0-4. So I'm going to say I think the Red Sox are going to make that ability to have a late wild card push. Especially if they win this game against Baltimore, they take 3 out of 4. They've got momentum going into Houston. If they could take 2 out of 3 in Houston, then I think we've got a really good conversation about where the Red Sox have as a chance to get to that final wild card spot.
All right, last one. We've got more likely to happen. NASA astronauts Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore have been stuck in space for 2 months and may not come home to Earth until February of 2025.
Damn.
Which is more likely to happen? Butch makes the first move or Suni makes the first move? Both are married.
Look, you're stuck in space.
Yeah, I hope they get along.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to get along because it's the real life equivalent of being on a stranded island together, right?
Yeah.
Makes the first move and both of them are married? Look, this is just for entertainment purposes only, but I think she makes the first move because she would never tell. I think if he makes the first move, you know, he's sitting over potatoes just like, honey, I got something to tell you. The wife is not going to care whether you were in space or you were half near dead. She's gone. So if anybody makes the first move, it's in space. It's the woman because the woman can keep a secret. John, you can take a pass on this.
I will take a pass. I do want to ask you, KJ, though, does it count if you're not on planet Earth?
Right, like, hey, it didn't happen in this atmosphere. Yeah. So technically,
there was no atmosphere.
Look, you could say I turned down The Martian for the human. You know, it kind of jokes like, okay, you can start to kill the music because we'll get back into a conversation here. It's almost kind of like some women are thinking like even having the thought of doing something wrong in that regard is wrong. And then there's the other part is just kind of like, you know, she needed a shoulder to lean on and clearly AI wasn't available for it in space. And what am I going to do? Because here's the thing. If he rebuffs her advances in space, then she could turn around and say that something did happen, getting him still in trouble for nothing that happened. So it's almost like Butch has kind of got to acquiesce to Suni's commands. If she's kind of like, you know, like, gosh, you know, we're up here in space. Who's going to know? Who's going to see us? Like, the satellite won't even pick this up.
And I think if AI was better, they'd probably be home by now.
Right, exactly.
That's crazy. Didn't they go up there for 10 days, and now it's like they're going to be there for 10 months or something?
They won't be back until Valentine's Day. Like imagine you don't make it home for Valentine's Day. You're like, okay, really, what's going on?
Like, that's nuts, though. Like, you send someone to space.
You can make it back in time for the Super Bowl, but you don't have anything for me for Valentine's Day. Get your ass out of the house. EA College Football, John and I have talked about this, and first I will say I got my ass handed to me on the game, but I know why. So, John, true or false, I scored an offensive touchdown in the game.
KJ, that is false.
Jacob, play? That is brutal, is it not? Now, did I get a special teams touchdown in the game?
You did.
Did I score any touchdowns defensively?
No.
Did John score 70 points in the game?
No, I did not score 70 points in the game.
Okay, so here's what I recommend.
I took my foot off the gas because we're friends.
So that's what it was. Oh, so now we're talking a little junk here. No, but here's the thing, though, because I do want to have this. We played the dark match, and I know what the mistake I made was. Like, I don't play the game on All-American.
Yeah, KJ's probably hustling me.
No. I'm pool sharking. You're like, yeah,
exactly,
color money here.
Exactly.
Before we put it on Twitch, you're like, you're not going to embarrass me on TV.
Yeah.
But I do want to replay this game on Twitch now that we've been, you know, got the things. John, I need you to put the headset on because John didn't put the headset on. I went and bought a headset because I figured I'd talk to John. I'm not a junk talker like that, but you could hear my expletives. You could probably hear the controller fly, stuff like that. But I think we need to play this game on Twitch, but we have to do it in a week where we're on more than just once that week. So because we got to let people know when it is. Play the game, because we just can't say, hey, we tell you on Sunday, you know, remember on Wednesday. Play the game, and then the next day talk about it, so that way you have a beginning, middle, and end to this story. So will you hold out for that?
I certainly will, and I do have to buy a headset. I used to have one. It broke,
yeah.
So I got to go out and get one. But, yeah, we should pick a good matchup, maybe September or October.
No, I'm thinking sooner than that. Like, okay. I want some get back sooner than I'm thinking, like, before this month is over.
Hey, we could do it next week. I'm in, you know? No problem.
Yes, so that's the thing. So I have the headset. I just have to get the little adapter. Don't laugh, Jacob and John, when you hear this. This is the first time since I've had my Xbox, both this one and the Xbox One, that I've played against anybody online. I just don't do it.
Yeah, I play against some like friends online, but yeah. I don't just generally play online. Like I played you, I have another couple buddies I'll like play with online, but other than that, I don't just like play online a lot.
So I did at least score a touchdown, and it was an impressive one. It was the only one.
You got me on that one.
Got some bad news for you about the Polo G bumper music. I did my research, and bro, all the instrumentals have like cursing in the instrumental, and they're really depressing slow. Like this is a fast-paced show. But did you get the new album this week?
Oh, I certainly did, and I'm a fan.
I when you said Polo G, I was thinking like the shirt, you know, Jacob, are you a Polo G fan?
Maybe, maybe not.
Who knows? The brother is getting out hip hopped here on this very show. But the Polo G intros are very slow. They're semi-depressing. You know, so I...
You know, maybe we can play that as background music when we play our rematch of EA
No,
college
gosh,
football.
No, why? Oh, because it'd be depressing my results on the field? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe mine will be, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be your inspirational. Right.
KJ's going to be at home practicing. He's going to bounce back. I think our next game's going to be a tight one.
All right. In the NFL, Colin Kaepernick has been rumored... to rejoin the NFL as part of the coaching staff with John Harbaugh and the Chargers. Do you think it happens?
Jim Harbaugh, right?
Jim Harbaugh.
Okay, no,
the reason
I ask is because like he could be a decent fit with the Ravens too. I would. Jim Harbaugh and him had a lot of success together. The only thing I would wonder is Kaepernick was a mobile QB, did a lot of read option stuff. Like Justin Herbert's not going to do that,
right?
So I don't know if he'd coach QBs. Maybe he'd coach a different position or just be a general assistant, but. I could definitely see it. I just wonder what he would coach, especially there.
I don't think it happens because if, let's just say, Jim Harbaugh gets caught up in the web of whatever Kaepernick is with the owners, Jim Harbaugh can't go back to college.
Yeah, he's got enough problems there.
Right,
yeah.
So maybe Kaepernick doesn't join the staff. So as bad as Daniel Jones looked in that preseason game, there are now rumors that him and sportscaster Kay Adams are involved. Like, is this not, like, the worst PR right now going on for Daniel Jones in New York? Like, Mac Jones was a bad story, but Daniel Jones has replaced the Mac Jones saga in New York. Is Daniel Jones already cooked, you think?
I think so. And you want some bad PR? Joe Weil told me off air, his car has 170,000 miles on it. This guy hosts the Nissan post-game show every day. Can we get this guy a Nissan?
Yeah, you can't do the plug stuff, John. You can't do that.
See, I only did that because I told Joe you would say that when I did it.
Why mess with the legalities of the show? If you missed any of it, the KJ and John Lyons show available right here on the Odyssey app. Just type in KJ and Lyons. Play it chapter by chapter. Thank you, Jacob Lastner, for your work. John, do we play another practice game? And then once we are able to fill in for a week, we do the game or do we just wait until then?
I'd be happy to play you in another practice game, man. That was fun.
Of course it was fun for you. Have a great Sunday. Remember, at The Real John Lyons, no H in John, at Twitter, at KJ Carson, and of course, at WEEI. Red Sox pregame next. WEEI, have a great Sunday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.